fire Basketball Jones up. Here we go.
Got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood.
Hey, Laura.
Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I even put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line of life. Someone I can pass to. Someone to hit the open man on to give him goal. And not end up in the popcorn machine. So cheerleaders, help me out.
Tony B, welcome you to another edition of Tennessee Basketball Overtime. That was, I'm trying to decide what that was. I don't even know what that was, but let's hope we never see that again. I'll do it. Let's hope we never see that again. What do you think? What do you say? Let's hope that's our one mulligan of the year. Because that was really, really wretched tonight, what we saw in Thompson Bowling Arena. As Tennessee loses tonight, I don't even know what that was, but Auburn comes into Tennessee's building and wins by 10, ladies and gentlemen. That's just unbelievable. I'm turning the music off. I'm turning the whole thing off here. I'm beside myself. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where we talk about it as soon as it happens. Tennessee loses tonight 94-84. Mark Griffin, you were in attendance at the game tonight along with my son and his buddies who were there tonight. I'd like your thoughts on what we saw. A rough outing for our basketball Vols.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mark.
How are you, man?
Man, I'm hurting. That was rough tonight, buddy.
Sorry about that. I'm just getting settled.
No problem, brother. Let me read some stuff here while you're getting settled. Tennessee on the evening, wasting an effort by Lamonte Turner, who had his best effort in a Tennessee uniform, finishes with 25 points in the game, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point land, 13 of 13 from the foul line. Turner was. He fouls out of the ball game. He does all that in only 21 minutes. So, wow. Another game where Tennessee has a couple guys disqualified with fouls, including Admiral Schofield. 4 volunteers tonight in double figures. Bone had 18 in the game, Williams 22, Schofield, and then 25 for Turner. Schofield had 13. Griff, if I'd have told you that, you would have told me Tennessee was getting out of there with a win tonight, wouldn't you?
Oh, no question. I mean, who would have expected Lamonte Turner would have a career night the way he did? I was really impressed with him, and I've been pretty rough on Lamonte over this season, and a lot of the fans have as well, Tony, as far as turning the ball over, but he had a very productive night.
Yep.
I think what it boils down to, I know we'll get into this in the show, Tony, but Tennessee cannot afford to have a team out-hustle them. I talked about this on the show today with you. My key to the game was talking about how Tennessee is going to have to keep Auburn off the rebounds. And it was just got out hustled and got out rebounded tremendously, which I know you'll go over. And it was, I think, the difference in the game. When you get out, when Tennessee gets out hustled, they're going to lose.
Yeah, hustle points tonight. You ready?
And you saw it.
Here it is tonight. Points off turnovers. They had 17 to our 9. Rebounding in the game, them 46, us 38. In our building, that should never happen. They had 22 offensive rebounds to Tennessee's 14. That should never happen. They had 28 second chance points to Tennessee's 18. In your building, that should never happen. They outscored our bench 29-28 tonight. Again, that should not happen. Our depth should be better than theirs. Points in the paint, they had 38 to our 28. I mean, Grant Williams tonight, God bless him, he bought a ticket, Mark. That might be the worst game he's played in a Tennessee uniform.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, his point production was good, but it just seems like, Tony, that he was doing a lot of standing and not, like, yep, the rest of the team, not putting a butt on a body to block, yep, out. And it just stood out. The fans that were sitting next to me were very vocal in the lack of effort on the defensive end as far as blocking out. And you talked about the second half shots and the offensive rebounds. But, you know, 22 is extremely high, and just can't afford to have that in your building when this is, you know, to me, a must-win game. Every game's a must-win game, but you've got to protect your home court, and it's very disappointing.
They had 9 steals, Mark, to our 3. We had that double-digit lead in the first half, and not a whole hell of a lot more. In fact, really, when you go back and you look at where Auburn won the game, Auburn was down in the first half, but closed the first half with a 42-36 lead. They went on a 23-6 run to close the half. Tennessee was 1 for their last 8 and just dead to the world. At halftime, Mark, Auburn attempted 20 more shots than Tennessee in that basketball game.
Wow.
In 20 minutes of basketball, 20 shots, that is unheard of. For the game, Auburn shot 74 shots, Tennessee shot 58. You're not going to win basketball games like that. You're just not. You won't beat anybody playing that way.
No, and we talked about it today as well, Tony, about the tempo. And Tennessee just continued to play Auburn's tempo, which is up-tempo game. And I even mentioned if the game got in the 80s, I thought Tennessee would lose. And if Tennessee could keep in the 70s, then Tennessee had a chance, and I thought a really good chance to win this game. But you can't play 90 feet of basketball with this Auburn team and up and down, up and down, up and down. Auburn, although they didn't really go deep in their bench, I mean, they had to because the foul trouble was a very well-conditioned team, very composed team. Mm-hmm. I thought Coach Pearl was in trouble. This was a typical, to me, a Tennessee team that you saw, I mean, Auburn team that you saw when Pearl was here.
No doubt.
With his players now in his third year.
Yep.
And they're minus 2 of their best players, Tony.
Yep.
So
he's in year 4. Yeah, he's in year 4. He's in year 4, and Barnes in year 3. And to your point, when you're in year 3 as Rick Barnes is, that should not happen to you in your building from a team that's down their 2 best players. It just shouldn't. I mean, I'm just going to call that what it is. 865-200-5402. Tennessee loses tonight 94-84 in an effort that I will call mystifying. Some people are going to get on here tonight, and I know you're going to, and I know you're going to overreact, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. Fan is short for fanatic. This season is far from over. This Tennessee team is good enough to pull out of this. Now, they've created a little bit of a mess here. They were a quote-unquote, for whatever this is worth, which I say at the end of December, not a whole hell of a lot, but they were an NCAA tournament team before the new year, whatever that is supposed to mean. Now they're going to have a lot of work to do to get back to that line, because now you got staring at you in your next 3. You've got Kentucky here, and you've got Texas A&M coming at you with Vanderbilt sandwiched in there. There is not a lot of rest for the weary. So they have taken a bite from the apple here. And, Mark, there will be work to do. But I know one thing about Rick Barnes. He'll get these guys' attention. It looked to me, Mark, like they get up 13 or 14, whatever the lead was, and it's almost as if they relax. Mark, do you do that as a player when you think, hey, we've got a tomato can in front of us here, this is easy?
I'd like to say, Tony, that it doesn't happen as a former player, even when you're coaching. But it does. I mean, you start watching the clock and the scoreboard, I should say. And it's unfortunate, but I think it's a natural tendency is when you get up, you get comfortable. and teams that will play for 40 minutes know that they're going to play through these ups and downs that happen, these runs we call them, and you've got to continue to play. But it did seem like Tennessee was resting once they got a big lead, and you just can't afford to do that. And you just can't afford to let teams back in it.
No.
And Tennessee did. You just can't do that, Tony, not at home. I mean, I'm very upset. I don't think it's in the world, but, you know, I was up, you know, I'm looking past the Arkansas game because that's history, but tonight is an effort game. And Tennessee, to be successful, for even to talk about postseason basketball, which is even early, but it's fun because they're in a position, you know, to be talked about for the postseason, have got to out-hustle their team regardless of where they're playing, home or away. But if you're going to get out-hustled by Bruce Pearl's team, you're going to get beat.
Well, and to your point, I mean, you just don't have enough talent. I mean, in terms of being able, there's a talent. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's not a talent deficit, but it's you don't have an inordinate, what's the word here? Advantage in talent. You're not overwhelming. You've got to play hard.
Competitive advantage. We don't have a competitive advantage.
That's a good word. Competitive advantage.
Wise.
By design.
We don't have anybody to go to.
Yes.
You know, tonight. And where's Jordan Bowden tonight?
Let's look at his line. You ready for this? How many shots do you think Jordan Bowden took in that basketball game tonight?
Probably five or less.
He took four. You're very observant. He was, he finished with 1 point in that game. One of two from the field. And you know what? His body language, he looked like he was ill or something. He didn't look like he felt well. And it is January, so anything's possible. Let's go to the phones, and we'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. Let's get our first call in on your Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime, the place where we talk about it as soon as it happens. And let's bring our first call in. Hello and welcome.
Guys, I'll be kind of brief, because I'm too angry to be on here. I'll
Bino.
Say that right off top.
Hey, Bino.
Hey, Bino.
Guys, I can take most things, but not half-ass mail it in standing around basketball. That was one of the most disgraceful efforts I've ever seen from a Tennessee basketball team. To stand around and give up 20-plus offensive rebounds to a team that's smaller than you in your own building, that's just not wanting it bad enough. And when I look at this team, I see we don't have enough guys that want it bad enough. We don't have enough guys that hate to lose, and that includes little Ricky from Hickory. And until that changes, we're going to be a half-ass, irrelevant basketball program like we've been for I don't know how long. That was a inexcusable, disgraceful effort. There's absolutely no excuse for anyone to come in, especially when you got a bus full of three stars. How can they not play hard every night? How can they not play with a chip on their shoulder every time they walk out there?
Tell you what the difference is, though, Bino. In the last couple of weeks, I've had people telling them how great they are. And, Mark, that's hard, isn't it? That's a different world that they were living in there for a couple of weeks, wasn't it, Mark Griffin?
It is hard, but you've got to be able to take that and go, no, we've got to continue to improve. It's all about continuous improvement, not believing that you're that good. And they can't believe you're that good until the season's over and see what you accomplished. But like Bino, very frustrated right now. I didn't know what I was going to say when I got on the air because I want to make sure I'm politically correct as far as not ripping the program too much and some of the players who were standing around. But when you watch as a fan, you should be frustrated because it goes back to me as effort. I can handle if a guy doesn't get a ton of points at one individual because somebody else can step it up. If your shot is off, then you can go fight for offensive rebounds or set screens. But when you don't play defense, you don't deserve to win. And Tennessee didn't deserve to win tonight because they didn't come out playing defense.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I'll say it. Williams had 22 on offense. He gave up a good 40 on defense. I mean, you've got to play defense. That's Barnes's hallmark. I don't know what was surprising to me tonight, Bino, is he let that first half unfold and sat there and watched those guys implode there. And his whole hallmark has been give it to me on the defensive end. Give me effort on defense. That was a weird deal tonight. That was really strange what we saw there.
Hey, listen, I know they got a lot of long rebounds, but most of their rebounds were just wanting it worse than we wanted.
No doubt.
And Tony, they should have gotten over. They should have gotten over being full of themselves Saturday, not tonight. Saturday. If they didn't get the message Saturday after that Arkansas game, they're not going to get it because it doesn't mean enough to them. Pure and simple, doesn't mean enough. We don't have enough guys that it means enough to. And until that changes, we are who we are. Guys, I appreciate you being in there tonight because this bunch don't deserve your effort, I can tell you that.
865-200-5402. Next call up with Mark Griffin here on your Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime. Keith Hatfield sends his regards. He couldn't be with us this evening. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Tweet, Mark.
Hey, welcome in, buddy.
Good evening.
Two things. Tony, if you're an official and you're calling a foul on somebody, why do you have to go to the monitor to see who it's on? What was going on there?
Because if you call it on the wrong guy, you're going to potentially foul out the wrong person. So you've got to see. My problem is it should not take 4.5 minutes to go over there and figure out who the foul was on. And they did that twice tonight, Mark. And that game took entirely too long, Mark Griffin, to play.
I know. Tony, I was getting hungry. I haven't eaten dinner. And I was like, this game's going to take forever because the caller's right. I mean, you kept going over checking the monitor. And I don't like to blame losses on referees, but I will
that
blame.
Had nothing to do with
it. I will blame the refs of trying to take the center stage more tonight when they were calling fouls. And you're going to get that with Valentine. But it was like, let the guys play. Quit calling so many fouls on both teams. Just let them play. And they just wanted to make sure that they slowed the game down by calling all the fouls and sending guys to the line where the guys would rather play than have tic-tacky fouls.
Tony, the second thing, somebody said something about who's going to be the guy. One of the announcers, I think the lady that was announcing, made the comment, like, I don't know where this team gets its identity from or its effort from. You know, who's going to be the player that gives it? Doesn't it not come from your head coach? I mean, isn't that where you get your attitude, your want, your fire? And you got Rick over there. He didn't stand up until, 5 minutes left in the game when they're down at that point. Tony, he let a 14-point lead go and took 3 timeouts into the second half. What was he doing? What are you doing? You've got one of the youngest teams in the country. You're up 14, and they start chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Next thing you know, you're down 4 or down 6 going into the second half. That's a 20-point swing. And you took 3 timeouts with you. Didn't even think about taking a timeout. Nor did he stand up.
Mark,
what the hell was he doing?
Mark, should he have tried to stem the flow of that in the middle of that? What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. And what I thought about tonight, what a classic case of momentum change, like y'all were discussing, was Billy Donovan. He would call a timeout after someone would cut a lead from 14 to maybe hitting 2 straight baskets to 10. He wouldn't even wait until. Until it swung 14 or so points. So I totally agree with the caller that Coach Barnes could have burned a timeout. I mean, use them. If you got them, why save them? It's not football. I mean, you want to use these throughout when they're having those swings because you're right. The players are probably looking over at the coach saying, help me here. You know, things are turning and we need a break. You know, we need to come back together as a team. Because I even saw Admiral was yelling at Lamonte Turner at the free throw line. I don't know if the coaches saw that or not, but they were having problems internally. So you need to regroup these guys, get them back together on the same page.
Tony, Fulkerson has to be minus 3,646 points this season. There's no way he has positive points this season at all, plus minus.
I feel sorry for him. Watching him tonight, I feel sorry for him.
Walker and what do you call him, Alexander, they give you nothing offensively, nothing. When they're in there, you can't even get the ball to them in the offensive end. I mean, Walker had a turnover. Alexander, he made, one basket the whole game? You got the stat line.
Well, it's weird about that game, and there's a lot of odd things about it, but what was really strange about that game is the way Tennessee's big people just got abused, Mark, in a game that looked like a 6-foot and under game. It looked like that old USBL game, 6'4 and under. Bruce Pearl's basketball team. They only have two guys over 6'8", right, on their whole roster?
That's correct. Two guys 6'8" on scholarship. Whew. And their best player, Tony, their best rebounder is 6'3". And Murray was killing them in the first half, and he got three fouls. And if it wasn't for that, he'd probably killed them even more on the offensive boards. And I don't know if he fouled out or not. I don't recall. But he's averaging 7.4 rebounds a game, and he's 6'3".
Murray tonight
shows the effort.
Murray tonight in that game, for a guy 6'3", had 7 points, 6 boards, an assist. He had 4 fouls, turned the ball over 3 times. He only played 15 minutes in the game, another weird line. But Murray, in 15 minutes, had 6 rebounds.
Presbyterian. And he's a transfer from Presbyterian. He's not a 4 or 5 star, but he gives you 5-star effort.
Tony, is it too much to ask just to have some I give a blank from your head coach on the something?
No, something. No, it's not. But here's the thing. I'm not going to kill him. Let's watch the season and let's let it play out. But I'm not going to kill the guy for your 0-2. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay. But what you have to say to your team is, okay, guys, we're 0-2. A lot of teams start out 0-2. But Saturday, we've got Anthony Simmons coming in here, and we are not going to go 0-3. We can beat this Kentucky team, but they better get their attention the next 2 days in practice, because I'm telling you, I don't know if they can hit a switch again. Mark, it looked to me like that Arkansas game took an awful lot out of those guys, an awful lot out of them.
Well, you're right. I mean, what can you say? I mean, you're supposed to forget the past games, move on to the next game, and you even make the comment, next game, next game, next play. When you make a bad play, you normally make the comments, next play, to forget about the past. But it looks like they haven't forgotten the past, because if they would remember the past, they would remember also that they're a defensive-minded team, and they left that in the past as well.
Oh, God. Tony and Mark, they need to go 3-1 out of their next 4 against a brutal schedule just to start the league 500.
Don't do that. Thank you. Good talking to you. It can happen. It can happen.
It can.
Absolutely can happen. Hey, look, I'm not panicking. I think this team, I predicted 21 wins for a star season. I'm staying with that. 865-200-5402. Look, this is year 3. And these guys have played a lot of basketball here. They can do that. Let's go to the phones. We'll get our next call in. If you want to get in with us tonight, we've got an open line for you at 865-200-5402. Again, the number is 865-200-5402, 865-200-5402. As we get our next caller in on our Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony. How, Griff? Hey, Griff. How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm not doing worth a darn. Tony, you know what a huge basketball fan I am. UT basketball fan. I'm more of a UT basketball fan than I am a UT football fan. And I've been your harshest critic on you being Barnes' harshest critic. But, Tony, I think the guy lost me tonight. First of all, I don't think we're going to start any better than 2-7 in the conference.
Whoa.
And I really believe that. And this crap, and I've been a Tennessee basketball fan since I was about 7 years old, since about 1970. And I just don't think there's any way the guy can ever get me back on his side, wanting me to see him remain as our coach.
What?
I'm serious.
It's
Tony.
Two league games.
Tony, hey, the nose is going down, and I'll tell you one thing. If I was Phil Fulmer, I'd go and see if I could find that old Lady Balls man that they tried to dump on George Cafego. And I'd gas that thing up, and I'd head up I-81. I'd put Barnes in the back seat, I'd head up I-81. And I'd go up there, about halfway up, I'd say, Coach, here, we're going to take a bathroom break. And when he got out, I'd lock the doors and close them, and I'd go up there and I'd hire Steve Forbes.
It's two games into the Southeastern Conference season.
Tony, have you ever seen a team regress as quick as we progressed?
No, but I'm not going to just go crazy. I mean, come on now. And by the way, I've been on Rick Barnes's recruiting from this standpoint. You got to have one horse, not all horses. You got to have one horse. Like, if you look at Auburn, Mark, they've got a couple guys that's identity-wise in their backcourt. They put the ball in the hands of, hey, that Harper kid is a real nice player, and nobody in our league shoots it like Brown does from behind the arc. And when he shoots it like he did tonight, he's fun to watch.
Oh, I love Bryce Brown.
I mean, he's fun to watch.
I love him. Oh, he's just a great athlete, a great shot. He was one of the guys I mentioned in the three-pointers to look out for.
Yep, you sure did.
You know, leading scorer, 15.8. He was tied for leading scorer with Auburn. Just a natural, great athlete. He wasn't a four-star, five-star player, Tony, but he's really developed into a great player. Now, Harper was a four-star player, but just loved the way that Brown just took great shots, didn't force things, and for some reason was open a lot of shots. I don't know why they weren't helping more, because they knew that he was a good shooter, but he had some good looks throughout the game as well.
And Harper tonight, he had a couple of plays, a couple of putbacks. I mean, his athleticism. I'll tell you what those guys do now. They high fly on that fast break, Griffin. They get out in the fast break. I mean, they fill lanes.
Well, there was one possession where UT had scored a basket, and as soon as they had scored a basket, Auburn took it its first half, took it out, made a full-court pass down, and scored before Tennessee could even get back on defense, and that was just – that was embarrassing.
I think it was like a dunk over, wasn't it? It was like a dunk. It ended in a dunk.
I believe so. And
yes.
They got the ball out of bounds and just whipped it down the court before Tennessee could even react.
Tell you what, that Macklemore is a hell of an athlete, too. I mean, Auburn's – I'll say this for Auburn. They didn't know a lot about their basketball program before tonight. That's a team that grew up tonight. That's a team I would not want to see down the road. I'll tell you that right now. They grew up tonight. That's a big win for them.
That was a great win. And I questioned their schedule because the only teams they played was Dayton, Temple.
Right.
And their biggest win they had, they lost to Temple,
their
boys, was to Middle Tennessee by 6, and they were up by like 20 and then blew a lead in the second half and won by, I believe, 6 points. So they've not played an established schedule like UT has.
Anything else for us tonight there, Mr. Negative?
Yeah, I got a question for Griff. Hey, Griff, if we start 2-7 in the SEC, predicting us to do, what do you think is going to happen to us overall? I mean, through the end of the season, where do you think we're going to be at the end of the year?
Well, if they start 2-7, they're definitely going to – the media may be right after all. You know, they picked them 13th, and I mean, we laughed at it. I picked them 7th. But if they start 2-7 like you're predicting, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to load up at Lady Vols, man, and take him up there and let him out on the side of the road and go get Steve Forbes.
Thank you for the call. I mean, we're already on Rick Barnes to that point. And look, I've been on the guy, Mark, but I give him credit. They had a really nice non-league, and it looked like they were set up for a nice run, and they still may be. But, boy, this was a hiccup tonight. And the problem with games like this, and you've already heard it from some of our callers, and we'll continue with some more. And, by the way, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. I think for the first time in his tenure, Rick Barnes is going to feel a little bit of heat from this fan base. You know, he's always fun-loving and this and that. And if they don't win Saturday, he's really going to feel some heat, Mark, because people around here.
It's just going to step up, Tony, if they don't turn around and win. And you hate to be going into the weekend 0-2 against the Kentucky team, which, you know, a lot of fans are thinking we're going to beat them or Tennessee's going to beat them. And,
no question.
You know, that's a very difficult matchup because, I mean, they don't have a lot of depth, but they've got talent. I mean, and the people are saying, well, they're not as good as they used to be, but they're still a very good team that's only going to get better.
Right.
They've got pros, Tony.
Pros, babe. Yep. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We're light on the phone lines tonight, which is surprising to me. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller.
Hey, Tone. It's Davis in Nashville.
Hey, Davis. Welcome in, man. Appreciate you being there on Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Yeah, man. Happy New Year. I hadn't talked to you yet this year.
Same to you.
Call in.
Same to you, my man.
So I don't think that you can fire Rick Barnes yet. That's way premature. But I do think that with him, you're looking at an NIT program. He acts like out on the court, and he just seems to me like he's got the attitude of this blue blood coach, you know, from one of these, you know, Ivy League programs or a Duke or a North Carolina. And he isn't that, and we aren't that at Tennessee. And
he's had guys on his staff tell multiple people, including Desmond Oliver said it out loud to Jimmy Hyams on Sports Talk. He said, our coaches earn the right not to go on the road recruiting. Bullshit. Bullshit. I'm here to tell you that thousands of fans went to Thompson Bowling Arena night in frigid temperatures. Your coach has not earned that right, sir. Bullshit. Don't tell me that. That's the first thing. The second thing is he's done a pretty nice job coaching his squad, but they need a horse. They need one more horse.
Yeah, and the thing is that when Bruce Pearl was here, which it just makes me sad to see him in Thompson Bowling anymore. But when Bruce was here, he brought the dog out in the players, you know, and he made it fun. He's an energetic coach.
Yep.
And Barnes acts just like he's, you know, some Hall of Fame coach over there just phoning in the end of his career. And he's good. He's good with fundamentals, and he's getting more than expected out of, you know, low-rated players, and he's good at that, like, absolutely. But it's ridiculous for us to ever expect to be a nationally competitive team when he's lazy on the recruiting trail and he doesn't get energy or fight out of our players. You know, he's not a player.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think he gets a lot of effort out of his kids. I just think that when you start from where they are, and you have to play pinpoint perfect basketball all the time, why would you, if you're a coach and you're going to waste the time of everybody involved, why wouldn't you go get two more players for your roster? Just
sure.
That's all.
Perhaps effort was the wrong word, because you do see our kids trying.
They play hard. Absolutely. Yeah, and he coaches hard.
You don't see the energy that
he's
doing the past.
It's not his energy. Is not his shtick. Yeah, he's not his shtick. Yeah, and look, I appreciate the call. Great talking to you, man. Down in the Mid-State.
Yeah, brother. Thanks so much. Have a good night, man.
All right, man. You too, Griff. So people are saying they don't like Barnes's energy tonight. Do you gather the same thing, or is that just predictable after a loss?
I don't see that, Tony. I mean, what do you look around at a lot of these coaches that coach in college basketball? Do they have to be a rah-rah guy to get guys motivated? Watch the NBA. Do you see Steve Kerr up there jumping up and down and making a fool of himself, which a lot of these coaches are self-promoters? I don't buy that. I mean, if you can coach, you can coach. And anyway, you coach in practice to get them prepared for the game so it becomes easier. The game should be easy for the players and easier for the coaches because they've gone and executed and ran through most all the scenarios they're going to face. I don't have to have a guy doing jumping jacks on the sidelines. So I'm not going to be a critic of Coach Barnes right now because I think you have to go to the players and you have to have one of the guys grab somebody's jersey and get them in your face and say, look, you better step up. I think it's a responsibility of a leader. Mm. And what I'm more concerned about, Tony, is who is the leader on this team? I mean, is it Grant Williams? Who is it? Who's the leader of this team that's going to pick them up when they're down? And that's what I want to see.
Who is it, Mark?
Oh, no. I hope it's Grant Williams.
Well, let's go back to the – that's really interesting because
– who do you think it is?
Well, you stopped me in my tracks when you tell me that you don't know how to answer that. That scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It should be defined. Your leaders should already be defined. I don't see practice as much. I mean, I've seen a lot compared to many of your callers, and
yeah.
I've seen him be very vocal in practice. I think Bone could be a leader, but I think that Grant needs – I mean, Bone could be the leader, but Grant has to be the leader. So you have to watch him on the sidelines to see if he's picking up guys, if he's picking up players when they make a foul, go over, hit him on the head and say, that's okay. Pat him on the butt and say, come on, next play, let's pick it up. Let's turn this around. And I'm not seeing that part of the rah-rah that the fans look for in good coaches. Because watch the NBA, Tony. You don't see rah-rah coaches. So what's the difference? I mean, what, do they have to rah-rah to be a good coach? I don't see that. I don't think that's a requirement.
No, and I get it. Look, people are ripping Barnes tonight, and I get, and I said that was what he was going to get killed. I've done this. I've been here. People are, I don't want to say they're overreacting, because you react the way you want to react. Anybody that thinks that Rick Barnes should be fired because the basketball team is 0-2 through the league schedule, through the first two games of the league schedule, is silly. Now, if you want to tell me that you don't feel good about this program, where it sits in the league going forward, I'll tell you I agree with that. But I'll tell you that because Vanderbilt, who's at least one surefire win this year, maybe two, they're getting 2 5-star kids. We're adding nothing. Now, I'm doing some math here. That's not good. Alabama continues to add pieces. Kentucky's Kentucky. Georgia's pretty damn good right now. And they're doing pretty well in recruiting. Florida's having a nice recruiting class. That's the issue. That's the issue here, folks. LSU's going crazy on the recruiting trail.
Well, Tony, if we're going to talk future, who has Tennessee out-recruited in the SEC? I guess that's probably...
That's my point. That's my point. And eventually, the bill... Eventually, when you do that, the bill comes due on you. That's the only reason I get on Barnes. That's it. That's the only reason I get on him. Because we deserve, when Desmond Oliver said what he said on the air, I got to go to the phones. I'm about to have a conniption fit. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's Taylor.
Hey, T.
You know what's amazing? Before, expectations were extremely low preseason, right?
Right, 13th in the league. Pick 13th in the league.
Yeah, next to last in the league. They go 3-1 versus the ACC. All of a sudden, expectations go sky high. Let's face it, we lost at Arkansas, which is one of the most difficult places to win on the road. And we got Auburn, who was extremely underrated, 10-1. Granted, the loss at home was very disappointing. I think there was a lack of energy, and I don't know what happened. I mean, I'm asking this in all sincerity. I think Coach is under the weather. I mean, I know people, you've said that, lack of passion, but it just didn't seem like the same intensity from the coach. I think the team feeds off the coach. And I'm seriously asking, I would love to know if Coach is under the weather, because by the looks of how he acted on television, he didn't seem like the same impassioned coach I'm used to seeing.
It was strange. You know what it was, though? They had the game. And you see this in sports. They had the thing in cruise control. They're up 13. Absolute cruise control. Game over. And, man, they relaxed. And, I mean, those Auburn kids never quit coming. And like Mark said, you looked up and all of a sudden it was like a 4-point game. And you're going, what the hell? I mean, that lead, they blew. You talk about the NBA, Mark. They blew through that lead like one of those NBA runs. It was like 180 seconds, and the lead was gone. Did you get the same vibe, Griff, that I got? And I knew we were in trouble then, Griff, because I looked at our body language. I'm like, this isn't good.
No, it wasn't good, and I felt the same way as you and probably the caller as far as that swing in your former caller that called in. Earlier caller was Tennessee couldn't afford to have that big swing and get comfortable in the big lead that they did. I mean, you don't want to wish that Tennessee doesn't get a big run, but you got to know that your opponent's going to have a run when you have a run. It just happens in sports, but you got to be prepared for that. You got to put your foot on their throat and crush them while you have a chance to get up by 20 and not settle on 14. So there's not even an issue when they make a run. They cut it from 20 down to maybe eight or six, but that's as close as they get. But no, not this team. This team lets you right back in, and then they don't have anybody to go to outside of Williams, I mean, inside to do anything. And if we didn't have a great game by Lamonte Turner, who knows what would have happened?
Well, Turner and Williams played lights out. It's just a shame there wasn't a whole lot of help elsewhere. You know, the other question is, you know, I submit to you that the coach must be under the weather and the team fed off his lack of energy. His butt was glued to the bench almost the entire first half. And I typically don't criticize the coach, but I think he's under the weather. What was up with Bowden? I mean, 1 point and he
four shots.
Four times. That again, I would wonder if he's under the weather. It just didn't seem like the yep. normal Bowden and the normal coach. Lack of energy and the other question I had. I mean, I blinked. I stepped away from the television. I came back. Tennessee had like an 18-point lead, and I came back. It was tied. Why no timeouts? I see the thought process for a veteran team. Let's
right.
play through it. This is a young team. Why do you not call timeout and settle them down?
They went to the locker room with three of them, which is mystifying. I don't know. I mean, I guess you redeem them for something. I don't know. Maybe Amazon, like Amazon gift cards or something. He turns them into more to the athletic department and gets Amazon gift cards. I would have no idea. To me, and as Griff said earlier, you've got guys sniping at each other on the floor that he saw live. And I take what Griff says lock, stock, and barrel. You got to get a timeout there. I mean, you got to just call everybody in and go, hey, look, take a breath. This is your assignment. That's your assignment. You missed him there. It's cool. Let's forget about it, but let's learn from it. All those things, and the guy's obviously a marvelous coach who's won a ton of games. Tonight was not one of his better moments, and tonight was a terrible effort from the basketball team. I mean, I'm just going to say it. The effort tonight, you use the term ill. I want to believe that team has an illness going through it. Either that or that Arkansas game murdered their psyche. It's either or. It's one or the other, and it's not a lot of in between there because that was a terrible effort tonight by them.
A horrible effort by I hope coach comes out and takes some blame because I thought it was a poor effort from him, a poor effort from most of the team outside of Williams and Turner. And I'll hang up, Tony and Griff, but would love to hear Griff's comments on the lack of timeouts and the overall just lack of energy from the coach and from Bowden. And I'll hang up, but I want to ask you what the crowd was like tonight. Was it good crowd and passion crowd, at least early in the game, and you guys take care.
Thank you. Griff, how would you rate tonight's crowd, which looked excellent on television, by the way?
I mean, the upper deck on the where the basketball goals are was not crowded, but the lower part, the lower bowl, was packed. And I commend the fans that showed up tonight, especially in this really bad weather, to come out and watch this game, which they could have settled and stayed home and watched it on TV. So the crowd was good. I think they were supportive. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, one of the previous games like a Carolina or, you know, that type of atmosphere. But they were very supportive throughout the game. And even during lulls, when the team got down, the fans got into it to try to pick them up. So I think fans did their part. But what the caller was asking about as far as timeouts, we've been mentioning earlier in the show, was I definitely – think that Coach Barnes should have called a timeout when he felt the momentum swing and not carry all of them to the second half. You don't have to carry all your timeouts or carry them over. If you need to use one, especially when there's a big run coming, go ahead and be aggressive and call that timeout before it hits. And like you talked about, Tony, just look at your assignments and regroup and give the guys a little break if they need to. They may be a little fatigued. I mean, they should be in shape, but guys still get tired. I mean, I don't care what fitness you have throughout the season. You're going to get tired if you hustle. But I don't think the team was tired. You know why? Because they weren't hustling.
Yeah, how can you be tired after that? I mean, give me –
like they were saving it.
Give me something, boys. Give me something, boys. How could anybody be tired after that?
And unfortunately, Tony, I was sitting there going, God, I hope we get them to overtime because they're in foul trouble. But why am I wishing for an overtime game when we should have beat them in regulation? Because I was thinking, well, because, you know, we're not playing hard. Maybe they're saving it. But why would you save it? Every possession, you have to give the best shot you've got. Now, you're not going to stop guys.
Yeah.
These guys are too good. You're not going to stop every possession.
Right.
But, boy, you can really get in their face
and play hard defensively where they're going to have to earn it. When they know when they get that ball, if they're driving to the basket, they're going to get hacked and knocked to the ground. And I don't see guys that are aggressive like that that throws them to the ground. One thing I loved about Auburn's Horace Spencer, if you recall, if they showed the angle, was when you went into the paint, you got fouled by him. He made you earn it at the free throw line, and I commend him. I commend them because he made you earn it at the line. And I think a lot of times Tennessee would let guys, when they got their offensive rebound, they would just go right in and score.
Horace Spencer was old school, wasn't he, Griff?
Oh, he was old school. I love his effort.
Back to the phones we go. That's really interesting. And by the way, tonight's festivities are presented by my man, Marcos Garza, and your Garza Law Firm. And really thank him for doing this and allowing us to be on here. Online at GarzaLaw.com. And a word about Marcos and what he does. First of all, he's incredible. Secondly, whatever your needs, he's got you covered, from DUI defense to criminal defense to personal injury. And look, car wreck, a motorcycle accident, trucking accident, if you've had a medical malpractice issue, product liability, slip and fall, workman's compensation, Marcos Garza is the call to make. Marcos Garza online with your Garza Law Firm, GarzaLaw.com, GarzaLaw.com. The man's a Marine. He's a pillar in the community, and he's got your six. Let's go to the phones. And Tennessee could have used his six tonight plus four more because they lost unbelievably 94-84. And we know the script here. If your opponent this year, Mark, I'm just going to say this right now. If our opponent in this league gets into the 80s, we will not win those games in this league. We might do it against Scrubs, Mark. But in this league, if you get into the 80s against us, you'll beat the Volunteers. Yes or no?
No, there's no question. If any game this season that's in the 80s, I'm going to cringe because I just don't think that Tennessee can play 90 feet with anyone.
No.
I just don't see it. And you don't see the press. I haven't seen Tennessee use much the full court press. Tony, I don't know if you've seen that or not. But
no.
We haven't. And that does sometimes up the tempo. I understand. But, you know, sometimes it does change things as well, because one thing you don't want to be as a team is to be easy to scout. So sometimes you have to throw a little wrinkle in there like you see sometimes in football. And you do that in basketball, too, just to maybe one possession or two possessions to throw them off. Like Auburn tonight, they didn't press a lot, but they ran a nice little 2-2-1 press just to change things up so Tennessee couldn't get in their offense. And Tennessee's going to have to do that as well. They're going to have to change things up. But if they get in the 80s, it's over. I mean, I just don't think that with the personnel that Tennessee has, that they're not going to be able to be in games if they're in the 80s. In the 70s, they got a good shot at winning.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the mix and in the hunt with us today on the program, let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller.
Hey, TB, it's Zach.
Hey, Zach, welcome in, man.
Man, disappointed. I called in today and I talked to you. I told you I thought maybe it was time for Kyle Alexander to have a big game. You know, I thought maybe the size advantage for him. And you even pointed it out. You said he might, you know, he might be a defensive liability with, you know, running in transition. But if you watch tonight, man, they killed him on that pick and roll all night long. I mean, that little guard, which I know, you know, 6'11 guy, it's hard to guard them little guards. But, I mean, man, when are we going to realize that something needs to – we need to play that a little bit better, because it just seemed like they killed us on that all night. And also, in the second half, it's like they come out with the urgency to get the ball to Grant. And in the first half, it just didn't seem like that urgency was there. Can you or Mark kind of speak about that and just curiosity on that?
Mark, your thoughts.
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
just, it seemed like in the second half when we were down six that we come out and like the first couple, three or four possessions, it went straight to Grant inside and he done his thing. Can you kind of speak to just did it look like they were trying to get him the ball in the first half? Because on TV it just looked like he wasn't really 100% into getting the ball and moving in the offense. Am I just bad fooled or am I okay on that suggestion?
No, I think you bring up a really good point where I think that was what Tennessee looked at in the halftime was to make that adjustment, was to go more inside to Grant. Because I felt the same way the first couple minutes. You had like two quick shots from Grant. The ball was thrown to him. I think he kicked it out to Bone for a three-pointer. But in the first half, it was just like they were going through what I call their system of plays. They were just not trying to isolate him like they probably could have and probably should have. Now, I'm not taking away from Grant's game of 22 points, but I think they could have gone into him more effectively in the first half as well, because I don't know how his points were divided per half, but I think he got a lot more points in the second half. So that says, Zach, that you're correct, that they did make adjustments in the second half going to him more than they probably did in the first half, which is unfortunate because usually when you try to establish yourself in a game, what is the best asset that Tennessee has? It's Grant Williams. So everything needs to go through him in the offense and then go from there. And they did that in the second half, and they got the lead back. I mean, I wish they would have just stuck with that, but that's not what beat them. You know, not going into Grant Williams. What beat him is not defending.
They had he had 17 in the second half, Griff. 17 of his 22 in the second half. Well, so another excellent observation by you.
Well, also this, two points here. If Bone doesn't come out in the first half and shoot, I don't remember him ever being a consistent shooter. I may have just overlooked him, but he's not one of the first people that I look to make a three-point shot consistently. Obviously I think about and even Turner over him. And if he doesn't come out and he's not stroking in the first half, then that leads probably higher in what it is for Auburn. And also, we got out rebounded on the offensive side of the ball. I think Auburn had something like 24 offensive rebounds.
Yes, they did.
22
offensive rebounds. And we only had 14. And their second chance points in that game tonight, that's what won the game for them.
Yep.
They ended up with 28 to 18. What's your differential there? Somebody help me out. I'm not a mathematician. That's 10 points right there. That's your ball game.
I'm going to say this, too, and I'll jump off here. And I know we can't speculate on – I ain't going to name the recruit, but we got a recruit coming to town on Saturday.
Anthony Simmons. I'm going to name him, damn it.
Well, I just didn't know how all that worked. I didn't know if I could actually name him.
What do you mean? We're doing a radio show. Not only do I want to name him, I want to claim him. I want to pay that kid.
Well, okay.
Let's get real up in here.
I'll know better next time. But him, and if we, Owen 2 is bad, obviously, but if we go to Owen 3 and we get beat by the Cats, by a young Cat team, which I think we should beat, honestly, I really do think we should win that game. If we fall to 0-3 and we have a showing in front of him, which he is that recruit you said that is a program changer, he may not even play college basketball. He may jump straight.
Yes, that's correct. His list right now, they're doing a nice job getting him here, but let's say this about him. He's also considering Florida, UCLA, and he's got half of the other world on him. But he has been reclassified and can jump to the NBA.
Yeah. I'm just saying Saturday's a huge day for the Vols.
No doubt about it, man. You walk out of there 0-3, and, brother, this thing is on life support. And I appreciate your call, Zach. Thank you, brother. I didn't mean to get at you there, Zach. I'm just a tad bit frustrated with where we are right now.
I hear you, brother. I am, too. It's all
Thank you,
man. It's okay. Have a good night.
All right, let me go through the team box because somebody's wondering about – how many threes we shot. Griff, we shot 21 threes tonight. Is that too many in that game, or is that a healthy number for that basketball game?
Well, based on the tempo, I think it's not a bad number. I mean, at 21, I mean, if it was like 26 or 27, I'd probably have more of a problem. But, 20, 21 in the flow of the game, I don't think it was a big issue because I didn't sit there during the game and think, man, they're shooting too many threes. So not a big issue on my end. My end was the defensive end, which I know you'll get into more.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now, and this is one thing I'll speak to, because I have a great sense of appreciation for what Bruce Pearl did when he was here, and I'm going to step on some toes here, but this is who I am, okay? I will always love and cherish and treasure the Bruce Pearl years, and I'm not comparing him to our current coach. Everybody has their own style, whatever. I can tell you right now, and I'm not Bruce Pearl's favorite person in this world, and that's okay, because I have a job to do, and I do it well, to quote the great Peter Cetera. In the tune Wish You Were Here. But at the end of the day, Griff, at the end of the day, he did all right by the University of Tennessee when he was here. In fact, he was an awesome coach when he was here, probably the best coach of my Tennessee watching days. The ride he took us on, that magical ride, I can promise you that win meant everything to him against the backdrop of what's going on in the backstory there at Auburn, because I'm not sure he gets to coach here again next year, Griff. That was a huge win for Bruce Pearl tonight. Yes or no?
A huge win. I believe, if I was correct in your blog, that he was 1-4 against Tennessee.
He was? So
this is a big game for Bruce and staff, and they do take it personal. I mean, let's face it, you want revenge on your old school when you depart, and that's part of it, and I'm sure he's very thrilled with the performance, and it's going to be a great trip home for him and the team, because the players know how big this is for him as well, and like you, Tony, I'm friends with Coach Pearl, yep. And I wish him well every game except against Tennessee, but he's a heck of a coach. It's hard to believe he's been coaching 23 years now, though.
Wow. Time flies and you're having fun. We'll go back to the phones or not. Rick Barnes, let me give you a couple of Rick Barnes' comments, because he's taken zero ownership so far this loss. He said, we got the lead tonight. We thought it was going to be easy. We talked Saturday about being mentally tough for 40 minutes, and we weren't. He said, I'm not so sure I can say a good thing about anyone on this basketball team. Honestly, he said, when you play like this, it doesn't mean anything. It's disappointing. We haven't done anything yet. He also said, if I don't get after this team, that's who they are. I think they need to turn it up more. Some of the comments tonight from Rick Barnes. Your thoughts, Griff, on those comments from Rick Barnes, who's not holding back.
Well, I didn't hear a lot of self-accountability or accountability on his end. You know, things that maybe he could have done differently or to help this team, or maybe you didn't say anything. Of course, he's not going to talk about the timeouts, but, you know, I wonder if anybody brought that up about the momentum of the game and maybe burning a timeout or two to turn things around during that run that Auburn had, because that was probably the most crucial part of the game. So I think that should be pointed back to him. So I will not defend him as far as the timing of not burning timeouts.
He also said something pretty poignant, which is, the team that I saw play tonight, I have not seen. I would agree with that. I haven't seen this Tennessee team play either under him. That's by far their worst effort since he's coached them, Griff.
Yeah, you're right. And we've talked all along from day one, how is this team defined? And if you mention, you know, when you look at a Tennessee basketball, what's the first thing that stands out to you? Well, to me, it's the effort. And I'll harp on it all night until we're off the show, because it's just a frustrating part. Because you can lax on offense. You can have a bad night offensively. Jordan Allen's going to have bad nights. But you can't have a bad night defensively and expect to win as a team. Now, you may have one individually where a player gets hot, maybe Bryce Brown goes off like he did tonight, and that's going to happen, because you can only contain certain players that are going to get theirs, but you can't have it as a team, as a whole team. And another thing we haven't talked about is, I mean, maybe Walker's not a great offensive player, but why isn't he in there trying to bruise and play some of these quicker players? I'm not saying he's slow, but he's got some, I think he's got something he brings defensively where he may be able to get some of these rebounds that are bouncing to the guards because we're not blocking out, or some of the big men that are bouncing the ball, keeping it alive. So, I mean, how many minutes did Walker play?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, I was wondering where he was tonight. Walker on the evening. Mark, are you ready? Played a grand total of two minutes.
Wow.
It's not acceptable. Not acceptable.
Yeah.
And to your point,
I'm curious, Tony, why Fulkerson is the guy who's getting the minutes over Walker. I mean, people can say, well, Walker doesn't score. Well, how many points has Fulkerson scored the last three games? I haven't seen any.
No, let's look at Fulkerson's line tonight. Fulkerson tonight in the game played 8 minutes, and that's 10 minutes for Walker if you take his two, right?